Matthew chapter 5 from verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. During this hour, it is my intention to wind up the series of Love's Spring of Action. This is our number 12 of that series, and it's entitled Perfect in All Our Ways. I wish to conclude in this hour our meditations that have been triggered by this quote from Steps to Christ, page 44. And it's in paragraph 2 there, commencing near the middle of the quote. It said, When Christ dwells in the heart, the soul will be so filled with His love, with the joy of communion with Him, that it will cleave to Him. And in the contemplation of Him, self will be forgotten. Love to Christ will be the spring of action. Those who feel the constraining love of God do not ask how little may be given to meet the requirements of God. They do not ask for the lowest standard, but aim at perfect conformity to the will of their Redeemer. And so at the conclusion of this series, I pose this question to you. Do you have Christ dwelling in your heart? Or are you still seeking to make that a reality? But with all that you have already and that we have already contemplated of Him, is love beginning to stir in our hearts by the meditations that we have had during the previous 11 messages? Is the love that has been stirred in your heart pulsating within? Because only as that is a reality can the words of Psalm 86, verse 11, be a reality to you. Psalms 86, reading there, verse 11. Because as we just read there, that if the love is, if Christ is dwelling in your heart and love is the spring of action, you will be asking not for the lowest standards, but the highest standards of God's will. You will be pursuing God's will. And here in Psalm 86, verse 11, this is the language of a person who has been moved upon by the love of God. It says in verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Love Christ dwelling in your heart will cause you to speak these words from the heart. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I want your requirements. I want to find them and I want to pursue them. Teach them to me. I will walk in thy truth. Another similar psalm is Psalm 27, verse 11. Psalm 27, reading there from verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Teach me thy way. Lead me in the right path. Is this your prayer? Because you are prepared to move forward, to submit yourself to every one of God's requirements. And not only are you desiring to follow his requirements, but you are asking him, please show me those requirements. This will be the wording and the expression of the heart that is so touched by God's beautiful love that we have contemplated. Let's see the testimony of Jesus, the one that we love, that dwells in our heart because of we've opened our heart to him, because of his amazing atonement with us. And I want to read here several statements that spell out for us what that, how that prayer is going to come to fruition in our life. I read first of all from a manuscript, but it's recorded in Daughters of God, DG, page 91. And there I read from paragraph 2. And the language here is expressing what the person who has the heart of Jesus, the love of God in his heart, it says, we must give the Lord a chance to do his work, his great work for the soul. We must give him a chance. Christ is our sufficiency. Each one of us must understand what it means to have the word of God fulfilled in us. Teach me thy way, O Lord. What does it mean? That I will understand what it means to have God's word fulfilled in us, in me. As Christ was in this world, as he was in this world, so we are to be. If in this life we are like him in character, we shall in heaven have his likeness. If there is no likeness between Christ and us in this world, there can be no friendship between Christ and us when he shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Can you sense the weight of this testimony to us? Likeness to Christ as he was in this world. That's what the love inside the heart, that's what the presence of Jesus in the heart will generate that we will be Christ-like in this world, that we will have the likeness of Christ. Then we come to another statement from the last day events, page 71. I want to read some excerpts here from paragraph 1 onward. There it's written about Enoch, who walked with God, educated his mind and heart to ever feel that he was in the presence of God. He refused to take any course that would offend his God. So can you see, if you are looking for nothing to offend your God, it's because of love that you want to follow his requirements, and you're going to put them not the lowest standard in front of you. As it says here, like Enoch, it will be kept before us that the Lord would be kept before us, that we would not offend God in any way. He would pray. Here, in other words, teach me thy way, that I may not err. What is thy pleasure concerning me? What shall I do to honor thee, my God? Can you see the heartfelt expression that is to come from us as it came from Enoch? Teach me thy way. I don't want to err. If what I'm doing is displeasing to you, show me. This is the mentality when a person has the love of God in their heart. Thus, Enoch was constantly shaping his way and course in accordance with God's commandments, and he had perfect confidence and trust in his heavenly Father that he would help him. He had no thought or will of his own. It was all submerged in the will of his Father. As I'm reading these words, are you taking them in? Is this a reality of your heart? Because as I go on reading, Enoch was a representative of those who will be upon the earth when Christ shall come, who will be translated to heaven without seeing death. He had temptations as well as we. He was surrounded with society no more friendly to righteousness than is that which surrounds us. And what was his heart, his prayer? He wasn't going to be affected by society around him. It's so easy to do. And we must come before him and say, Lord, forgive us, because we have been affected by society around us. And we are to stand before God as Enoch did at translation. That's one very important quote as well. And then I read once more what it means to say, teach me thy way, O Lord, in Our High Calling, page 33. Some more excerpts from this page. Sister White writes here, say with your whole heart, I will walk in thy truth. Every resolution expressed in the fear of God will give strength and purpose to faith. It will tend to stimulate and to humble, to strengthen and confirm. I will walk in thy truth. Confirm it in your mind, you see. Truth deserves our confidence nonetheless, because the world is flooded with fables. Because error and counterfeit are in circulation, it only evidences the fact that there is truth, genuine truth, somewhere. It is not enough for us to hear the truth only. God requires of us obedience. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. This is our greatest need. And if my heart is filled with that love of the atonement of Jesus and he dwells in my heart, the love spring of action is functioning there. These are the realities that I am engaging, not only hearing the word, but after I've heard it, I will go and do it. Happy are they if they do them. So we may walk in the enjoyment of truth. It doesn't need to be a yoke of bondage. Further down, we who claim to believe the truth should reveal its fruits in our words and character. These are the practicalities that are addressed to us here. And finally, one more quote from Testimony Volume 7, what it's spelt out for us here. If we are asking God, teach me thy way. I'm reading from page 752, paragraph 4 of Testimony 7. Instead of choosing the work most pleasing to us and refusing to do something that our brethren think we should do, we are to inquire, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Instead of marking out the way that natural inclination prompts us to follow, we are to pray, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. So, can you see what's spelt out for you here? If you really have this at heart, instead of choosing the work most pleasing to me, refusing to do something that our brethren think we should do. Yeah. How many times, if you're going to follow God's way, you may balk at that because your relatives, your wife, your husband, etc., doesn't agree with that. Am I going to go ahead and do what God says? This is it, choosing the work that is not so pleasing to me, to my natural human nature. It's doing what God says. Why? Because we are motivated by a love that has been stirred in our hearts in the contemplation of Jesus. Now, this subject is so important for us living at this time, because like Enoch, we are to be translated as he was. Are we in these days? Is that relevant to us? That we will see Jesus coming and we need to be like him? What must we be like? What must we be like when he comes? Let us permit the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, expound upon what we must be when Jesus comes, and what we will be, not what we must be, but what we will be if Jesus dwells in our hearts. That's 1 John chapter 3. Here is this beautiful love of God that Apostle John expresses. He says in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Isn't that what we read before? That we will be in character like him? We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, if that's our hope, he says, and every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The love of God in the heart will cause me to say, Lord, anything you say. And I want to be, as it says, you have called me as your son. I will see you as you are. I will be like you. Lord, now I want to be purified. Let you purify me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 is another short indication of what we must be like when he comes. And because we purify ourselves, because we have been loved and we love in return, it says, verse 28, 1 John 2, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Tell me, if he comes and there's something comes up in front of you that wasn't part of his way, would you be ashamed? Absolutely. But we will not be ashamed if we move on under this request and submit ourselves to God's counsel. Yes, when we talk about the 144,000 in Revelation 14, they have the Father's name in their forehead in verse 1, and in verse 5 it says, they were without fault before the throne of God. And so that is also identified in James chapter 1. When Jesus comes, what will we be like? James chapter 1. Reading there from verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Aren't they powerful words? Is this possible? It certainly is when the standard that you reach for because of the love of Jesus in your heart will be the highest standard. Then you will reach a perfection, an entirety, wanting nothing. And that is the reason why Jude, verse 24, expresses this. Because it is the love of God, it's the presence of Jesus in my heart that is the spring of action. And what will that do? Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now unto him that this would be the case. It's unto him as we open our hearts to him. This is what we have been contemplating. So, how did Jesus put that, according to our scripture reading, that we would be perfect? And how did Jesus say it? Matthew 5:48, what was that? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, those words, even as your Father, What, as you request now, Lord, please show me your way. What is his perfection? What is his way that I'm asking for? Psalm 145, verse 17. There we talk about the way and the ways that we are asking God to teach us so that we will be perfect, even as he is perfect. Psalm 145, reading verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his ways. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. In all his ways, he is righteous. He is holy in all his ways. Let's read it again in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And that this is the these are the words of the Holy Spirit here that we quote frequently, that his doctrine shall fall as the rain. As we wait, as we open our hearts to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what is described to us by the Holy Spirit, the teacher of righteousness, according to righteousness? There it is. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And what does he teach? He says in verse, in chapter 32, verse 2 to 4, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto him. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Are you getting the picture? Be ye therefore holy. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what we're just reading here. That's what he is like. The Holy Spirit, the teacher of righteousness, according to righteousness, is telling us that the ways that we are to have are the ways of judgment, truth without iniquity, because that is his. And you can see it now in Deuteronomy chapter 10, which is the call for us to be in harmony with that. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God, here it is, require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to what? To walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So the call is generated in fulfillment to the person in whose heart Christ dwells. So that as he pleads with God, show me thy ways, teach me thy ways, he places himself under the tuition of the one he loves. And to be perfect as he is perfect, that's what's written, in all his ways. And as we drink in this call and this privilege of being able to reach that, because the love of God inside of me fills me with this, as we read it there in Steps to Christ, with this this willingness to just follow all his requirements and not the lowest, but reach to the very highest, indeed to that perfection, this must be inside of our heart, as it says there, with all your heart. And remembering when it says, his ways, what are you reaching out to? From your heart of love. Lord, I want to have all of your ways. What does he say in Isaiah 55, verse 7 to 9? What must you expect? That he's going to teach us. That's Isaiah 55, reading there, verse 7 to 9. And there it actually says, you know, you know yourself to be sinful, wicked. Forsake your way. Forsake your way. Forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Forsake them. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that what we've testified of and read of in the preciousness of the atonement of Jesus? He's created that love. And we've got to understand now that what I'm reaching for is for his ways and his thoughts, as he says it now in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So be prepared as you ask him, teach me thy way, O Lord. Expect it's going to be different. What is your way? It is a complete reversal of our way, whatever the ways are, all the different ways that are different to ours. So, what have been some of his ways that we have already covered in the past studies? One of them was the true keeping of the Sabbath. We saw there what true Sabbath keeping is really about. And that's God's way. And we are going to plunge into the depth of that study next year's Sabbath school. A whole 6 months of God's way of the Sabbath. But we've already touched on it in that divine service when we dealt with true Sabbath keeping. We've also dealt with that fact that we are going to keep all the Ten Commandments. But they are very broad. There's many details contained in those Ten Commandments. We've dealt with that. We've dealt that God's way is that in our earthly occupations, we're going to dwell with him in those earthly occupations, doing them unto the Lord. We've seen that that is God's way, that our earthly occupations will not be just, get them over and done with. They will be done as unto the Lord, walking with him in it. We covered a very important subject of dress as to God's requirements. And that was a little hard for some to pick up and to take on, because God's way of dress is different to our way that we have accustomed ourselves to in this time. We covered and we understand well that God's way of nourishment is plant-based. That is God's way. And we saw also the detachment that we need to make from the ways of the world, that we do not do the ways of the world. But there are many, many more. And if you want to go and study them further, there's a whole large number of them in the Sabbath sermons. You can pick them all up there. Love-motivated obedience. But I want to ask you again, Do we love him enough so that we will ask him, Lord, show me more? If there's anything that I'm not doing that is your requirement, show me. Is this what we want to be doing? Where are we going to turn to find all of God's ways that we need to be in practice like Enoch, so that when he comes, we will be living all of those ways? Where am I going to get my information from? Well, come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 1 to 8. Now follow very carefully what is given us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, that we might stand before him purified and perfect at his coming. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, etc. Verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What is that? That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, Lord, show me thy way. I want to know your way. Can you see what's coming into the picture here? All knowledge is given to us through Jesus Christ, through the grace of God. What does the grace of God do? In everything we are to be enriched, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we waiting for his coming? And as we are waiting for his coming, the Lord looks after us. He gives us every gift so that as we are waiting for him, verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has he given us that we may be blameless? Lord, I want to reach the highest standard because I love you. This is my prayer. Teach me thy way. Where am I going to find it? I'm going to find it in the Bible, but so many times we miss the point. And so he has given us the testimony of Christ. When you read in Revelation, what is the testimony of Christ? The spirit of prophecy. And God has given us for the last days the spirit, the testimony of Christ, the spirit of prophecy, so that we would be confirmed unto the end and be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to reach perfection as God's requirements communicate to us? It will be given us, and it is given to us in the testimony of Jesus. And here I want to read you exactly what we have just been introduced to, where we will turn to get this perfection in all our ways. I'm reading from Selected Messages, Book 1, where Jesus is speaking to Sister White. And notice carefully. He says here in Selected Messages, Book 1, page 32, paragraph 3, we are asking the Lord, teach me thy ways. Where am I going to learn it from? Here it says, Jesus is speaking to her, And he says, be not afraid of man, for my shield shall protect you. Listen carefully. It is not you that speaketh. It is the Lord that giveth the messages of warning and reproof. Never deviate from the truth under any circumstances. Give the light, I shall give you. The messages for these last days shall be written in books and shall stand immortalized to testify against those who have once rejoiced in the light, but who have been led to give it up because of the seductive influences of evil. We studied in our Sabbath school lesson the seductive spirits that led the early Christian church into corruption. We are living today under the corrupting influences. And Jesus is saying to E.G. White, I want you to write everything I have shown you in books to stand there, because it is not you that is speaking there. It is me. Don't deviate in any way. Give the light that I shall give you. And what we just read in 1 Corinthians there, chapter 1, verse 8, this is the testimony of Jesus that is given to us so that we will stand blameless at his coming. And if we come to Sister White's writings with this understanding in place, that Jesus said to her, it's not you, it's me speaking. The testimony of Jesus is going to get me ready. But be aware of one thing, that there are so many people today, as I'm going to read now in Christ Triumphant, that those things that are written there are not very welcome to the natural man. Because God's ways are not our ways. Haven't we already established that? Christ Triumphant, page 43, paragraph 5. And here again, this request that I am praying to God that he will teach me his way. It says, we want to pray with David. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Many close their eyes, lest they shall see the truth. They do not want to see the defects in their life and character, and they are disturbed if you mention anything about God's law. In this they show that they have a human standard of their own. But when the love of Jesus is actuating, what did we read? We will not ask for that lower standard. We will ask for that way that is God's way, which is not naturally our way. And we will be led to that perfect state. So, they do not want to see this. They show that they have a human standard of their own, that their will is not the will of God. We want that you should not be deceived by Satan, the first great adversary of God's law. We want to bear in mind that God's law is the only standard by which he will judge us. So as we are touched with the wonderful mercy of God in the beautiful detail of the atonement, our hearts are filled with a desire, Lord, teach me. But be prepared. He will teach us. And he wants you and me to not just hear it, he wants you to search it out. Search the scriptures, says Jesus, for they are they which testify of me. Search it out. Search God's will. And where shall you search? Remember also that my God, thy way, O God, is where? Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Study the sanctuary, and it's all given there in the writings of Sister White. All the standards that are there in the sanctuary of heaven. There you will see dress reform, the priests. There you will see the diet, the pot of manna. There you will see the fasting, the true fasting that has to do with the Day of Atonement. There you will see the entirety of God's way, because God's way of salvation and standard is all in the sanctuary. So in conclusion this morning, to study all that, does that appear overwhelming? Why should I venture on such a mammoth undertaking? It appeared like that to me too. But don't be afraid, because the Lord knows how to illuminate your mind. Oh, it didn't take me long to discover, whoa, I'm so off the rails. And the Lord showed me, and I'm practicing what he is showing me in the end, and I'm still learning more. So why should this be overwhelming, this mammoth task? If I will keep Jesus and his atonement before my mind's eye, if I will meditate upon him, I will obey all his ways, because I'm motivated by a love that is the spring of my action. I will become motivated to search diligently the scriptures so that I can know what God wants me to do and what he wants me to give up. I will search diligently the writings of the testimony of Jesus, by which I'm going to be prepared to stand blameless before the Lord. And so to continue to be motivated, to continue under this motivation of this spring of action, what am I told to do in 2 Corinthians 3:18? We know this scripture well. By beholding that perfect way of God, by beholding all the details of his ways, by beholding what? By beholding his glory, we will be changed into the same image, from glory to glory. If I'm not beholding, if I'm looking at everything around me, I'm going to get distracted. The love of God is pulsating in my heart when I look at the beautiful atonement, and that will activate within me to keep on looking, because by looking at him all the time, by studying into the detail of his character, of his ways, as I do that, I will be changed into his glory. His atonement animates me. For that, some of you that I've studied this atonement in detail, as I've referred to this little pamphlet that I put out, study it and keep it fresh in your mind, and it will animate you. You will see what he went through. It's overwhelming when it comes to us. But as you see what he went through, let us get the concluding summary of this meditation as we read there in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9. What did he do so that this which seems to overwhelm me will be actuated not to overwhelm me anymore? It will not cause me that my sufferings, my difficulties will get in the way, because I'm beholding him in the days of his flesh. Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9. who in the days of his flesh, what did he suffer? When he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that what? That was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, what do we see? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus is the author. He's the one that dwells in my heart as I dwell upon his beautiful love in giving himself in the atonement. And as I'm looking at the atonement, I see him going through the ropes, through the steps of that I have to go through. He's the author of it. And beautifully concluded in there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You see, to really strive against sin and do so unto blood, like for instance the Sabbath, it's a life and death question when it comes to the mark of the beast. And we must have an experience where if it means death, I'm prepared to do what God says. And I can only do that if I am occupied with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. I can only do that. And so whatever it means, whatever the contradictions of my sinfulness in the way is, and are those contradictions, it makes no difference. I'm going to follow Christ's example. I'm going to put into practice what he is showing me, if it means death. That's what Jesus came as an example for. And so in the light of his wonderful example, I want to read here a quote. Sister White writes, "What greater love can be expressed for man than this? Jesus suffered for us. What are we willing to suffer for him to save our souls from ruin?" I do pray that this understanding will be with us as we put our lives into harmony with him in all his ways, to be all of our ways. God grant us to be willing to look at Jesus and suffer with him, the willing to suffer for him to save our souls. God bless us to this end is my prayer. Amen.